from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Members of the Missouri Republican Party's State Central Committee selected Peter Kinder earlier this month to be the party's chairman. Kinder's election to that post comes at a time of great success. Republicans hold every statewide office and have commanding majorities in the Missouri General Assembly, something that was definitely not the case when Kinder started his political career. And while the power of political parties changed dramatically over the past few decades, Kinder is hoping that his experience as a statewide official and as a longtime political figure can help alleviate factionalism that's plagued the Missouri GOP for years. Joining us now from Cape Girardeau is Peter Kinder, who served three terms as Missouri's lieutenant governor and three terms representing a Southeast Missouri State Senate district. Chairman Kinder, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
You'd been out of the political spotlight since you ran for governor in 2016. I assume enjoying being in the private sector. Why in the world would you want to take on the job as Missouri Republican Party chairman?
Good question. This is not a job I ever thought I would be seeking, not a job I ever coveted. And a few days after the August primary, in which he emerged victorious, then Lieutenant Governor and candidate Mike Kehoe called me and asked me to do this. And I joked with him. I said, "Mike, is that something a friend would ask of another friend? I thought you liked me." But he persisted and said, "Well, I've got to get through the November election anyway. Let's talk after that." So he called after November 5th with the same request, and I said, "I'd like to meet face-to-face," and he said he wanted to do that also. So we met the week of Thanksgiving in St. Louis, by the way, and I agreed to go forward because he felt that I could help unite the party that, as you rightly note, was rather divided in the primary that he won in August, and has been divided, especially in the state Senate, for several years. And we're hopeful that we will be able to stitch it back together and get some unity so that we can go forward for the common causes.
Now, before we get into your goals, can you lay out to our listeners what the core responsibilities of the Missouri Republican Party chairman is in the year 2025?
Well, the Republican State Committee, like the Democratic State Committee, is a creature of state government. There are two committee men. I should say there's a committee man and a committee woman from each of the 34 senatorial districts for both the Democratic State Committee and the Republican State Committee. So it's a creature of statute in state government, and it is to run the respective state parties. That includes fundraising. It includes whatever staff is going to be hired. Our staff is small, two people at present, and we staff up a little more during election years, but in the off years we keep it very lean and mean, and we are about the business of raising money. That is a big responsibility of the job, that also includes communications. Today it includes, beyond the conventional news media, to include social media, outreach, improving our website, which could use some improvement, and ramping up our whole operation to be successful in next year's off-year election.
A moment ago, you talked about GOP factionalism, which we're going to get to in a minute, and mentioned that you took this role to try to help unify the party's common causes. What do you mean by common causes?
Well, when I took the president pro tem position 24 years ago last month, for the first time in 53 years, there were still moderate and pro-choice members of the Missouri legislature serving with me. There no longer are any pro-choice members. We are a pro-life party in what I believe is a pro-life state, and have always believed that. It was, there used to be, when I got to the legislature in 1993, there were dozens and dozens of pro-life Democrats. The ensuing years have seen a sorting out in which they're the pro-abortion party, I would say, and we are the pro-life party. So that's one of our causes. Another one is are many of the causes enunciated in Governor Kehoe's State of the State address, in which he emphasized the necessity to deal with crime in the city of St. Louis and throughout the St. Louis region that is plaguing people's lives up there and hurting business growth and recruitment. And another one is Governor Kehoe's stated desire, now I believe being endorsed by members of the General Assembly, to over the next 8 years eliminate Missouri's income tax and place us on a path so that we are like states like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, and other states that have no income tax and that are experiencing explosive growth because they're much more friendly to business than we are currently in Missouri. So that's the way to a rising tide that lifts all boats, to use a phrase JFK used to use. He was a tax cutter also, by the way. And those are a few of our common causes, but there are others.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned technology and improving the website and improving social media presence. What are some of your other goals that you want to achieve as chairman?
Well, I want to do as party chairman, Jason, what I did while in office, in statewide office, and that is take the Republican message to every part of our state, and that emphatically includes urban precincts where Republicans do not have a history of showing up very often. I happen to believe that my effort in the city of St. Louis and in St. Louis County that was rather derided and occasionally laughed at and called a fool's errand by other Republicans is among the reasons why I was the only survivor twice in two presidential election cycles, 2008 and 2012, I was the only winner out of 11 aspiring candidates. And so I think I have a story to tell on that. We want to come into the city of St. Louis, into St. Louis County, and ask, how is it going for you to vote for one party 70-plus straight years? And we think we can make an argument that we have some solutions that can do better. And that it isn't just the crime in the city, it's also the city school system that needs attention.
Yeah, and I could imagine, like, Democrats in the city of St. Louis hearing that and being like, well, we're looking at the crime statistics and they're going down or in the right direction. And, you know, Republicans haven't really had control of any sort of political office in the city of St. Louis probably since like the 2000s or maybe the early 2010s with one alderman. How are you going to be able to combat those things that they feel like Democratic rule is actually moving the region and the city in the right direction?
Well, the old Chinese proverb, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. We have a candidate for mayor this year, Andrew Jones. We are going to be supporting him to the extent our resources and personal time allows. I'm coming to the city next week, I believe it's Thursday night, for an event supporting Andrew Jones for mayor. We want to get our message out. Now we know the odds are long. We know that Joe Badaracco in 1973 was the last Republican citywide official as president of the Board of Aldermen. And we know the last mayor of St. Louis, who was a Republican, left office in 1949, I believe.
And the last St. Louis County executive who was a Republican was H.R. Milford in 1991, 90? I think. I'm not 100% sure, but continue.
About 35 years ago, he was the last one. And I believe he had been appointed or appointed by the council.
He was, but continues
not elected. So it's been a long drought, but we think we can make a case that St. Louis is suffering because they're not adopting the policies, the business policies, and the public safety policies that are favored by the rest of the state that is voting so overwhelmingly for Republican leadership.
So let's talk about the factionalism a little bit more. You ended up edging out former State Senator Bill Eigel by a pretty small margin, and Eigel was the runner-up in last year's GOP gubernatorial primary. He's now running for St. Charles County Executive with several other candidates. Why do you think this race to be chairman was so close, given that, as you kind of mentioned, you have credibility among a lot of different factions within the Missouri Republican Party?
Yeah, Bill Eigel is a very energetic candidate. He ran what I could see was a clean campaign. He went around and visited with people. There are also, Jason, it should be noted, there are 39 new members on that committee out of 68. I had a number of friends who had served on it for years, who just decided, that, in some cases for decades, who had been on there, who just decided it's time to move on, let someone else do it. So there was one other factor. Bill Eigel was going around promising people all kinds of things. I'll put you on the executive committee to this person and that person in different parts of the state. I'll put you, I will take care of paying for your county Republican headquarters. I don't believe a state chairman candidate has ever said that to anyone, but that's the kind of thing that was being said, kind of things that were being said by my opponent, and it got him some votes. There's no denying it.
Mm-hmm. And he came of prominence because he was part of this, either the Conservative Caucus or the Freedom Caucus in the Senate, and he kind of was the face of this GOP factionalism we've talked about several times. Is part of your goal here trying to reduce this type of factionalism? Are in a state that has become so Republican that they control everything, is factionalism just inevitable and you can't really get rid of it as long as you're had all this success legislatively in statewide office?
It is to some degree inevitable. However, it's also a function of personalities. And I'm hopeful that we can move beyond the bitter factionalism of the last 4 years in the Missouri Senate, and early indications of the first 4 weeks or so, maybe five now, of the General Assembly are that it is going to be better in the state Senate. So hope springs eternal, and I think we can all pull together. I'm not one for name-calling, bitter accusations against my fellow Republicans, nor for purity tests that some people are advocating. I think we need to recognize that we're all on the same team, pulling in the same direction toward the common goals.
In the last minute or so we have here, a listener named Andrea called in to say that your assertion that Missouri is a pro-life state isn't true because of how Missourians voted for Amendment 3 last fall, and Amendment 3 is the measure that enshrined abortion rights in the Constitution. What do you say to Missouri residents like Andrea?
Well, she has a point, given the outcome of that election. It was $40 million spent for Amendment 3 for a narrow victory. I happen to believe that Missourians are not fully informed in many cases. Many of the voters who supported it are not fully informed of just how radical Amendment 3 is, and that issue, in my judgment, needs to be revisited and will be revisited. And the last chapter has not been written. We will see.
Yeah. And I do want to just, again, in the last 30 or 40 seconds, I did talk with a lot of people that voted for Amendment 3 that also voted for Donald Trump or Mike Kehoe. And they said that they weren't fooled and like they knew what they were voting for. And they're just pro-choice Republicans, like you mentioned. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say that we have a case to make, and we will be making it. I'm not saying those individuals were fooled. I'm not saying anybody was fooled. But I do think there was a dearth of information on just how radical it was, and over time we're going to be revisiting that.
Peter Kinder is the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party. He was elected to that post earlier this year by Missouri's GOP Central Committee. So Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.